Bam! There it is. What's good? What's good? Welcome, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us. Reptiles Unplugged. My name is Adam, Beach Bum Exotics. You can find me on all the regular socials, Morph Market, all that good stuff. Got my co-host with me. Boom. Mr. Shane. There you go.
Shane Kelly, Small Town Exotics, smalltownexotics.com, Instagram, YouTube, and our technical producer, Jay at Greenline Morphs, Morph Market, and Instagram.
Nice. Thanks, buddy. Ta-da.
Man, that's, I did it without stuttering.
We did it. Yes. We've been trying to, we're like, hey, we got to work on our intro, at least, you know, talk. Good job. All right, we got to give ourselves a laughter. It's the small things, guys. It's the small things. So, Shane, how's your day been? Pretty good?
Yeah, man, it's been good over here, man. Nice and peaceful. Made some smash burgers with some fried eggs and stuff tonight, man. So, you know, eating like kings and, you know, just doing the things. Hognose are hatching. Ball pythons are hatching. I mean, it's a good time of the year right now.
Man, nice, dude. Loved hearing about your hognose over on Whiskey Bomb's show last night. That was pretty cool, dude. So... you guys go check out that show. Shane was on another podcast, whoring himself out last night, and you know how that goes. It was a really good episode, super entertaining. And we've got some good stuff coming up. But before we do that, let's talk the chat for a little bit here. We'll give Will a little shout out. He's claiming he posted first days ago. Good job, Will. Good job. But I think the true champs are Husbandry Pro. They've been waiting for us for 4 hours now. So really, truly appreciate you guys coming in, waiting that entire time. Jerome, thank you, sir. What's good? What's good?
Yeah.
And we got Mr. Greenline. Jay, thank you, my friend, for all the hard work you put in. Couldn't do most of this stuff without you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Graceful Pythons, thank you guys for stopping by. We got the Harbins out there. Oh, if you guys replay again, go check one of those our last couple episodes out. Harbins were on it. Amazing, amazing. Good episode. We go into all the various stuff that they're into. So go check that out. RT Royals. Tyson, thank you for showing up, man. And we'll do a couple more here. Got 319. And that wraps us up.
Nice. That's Chris. Chris at 319. And then I got to answer a question. No, I'm not on a timer. I lost that battle. The Harbins are saying something too.
That time buzzer will go off. Oh, damn. This is the thing. This is the thing now, Shane. I think at some point you're just going to have to fall asleep on us and buzzer's going to go off.
Well, and let me clarify. I'm going to, go outside of the Reptiles Unplugged world real quick. So the episode I was on last night over there with Keys and them, I had a timer, but that was to pick up my son from work. So it wasn't a bedtime timer, but
yeah, I'm sorry.
It did fit into my MO though. Like timer. Okay. Gotta go.
I apologize. I put that into that chat last night. So I said, good night, bedtime for Shane. Oh man. Too good. Well, again, appreciate everybody showing up. And hey, let's bring in our guests. Let's get this started, right, Shane? We've got somebody awesome lined up. I know you guys have known him. He's been on the show before. He's been on tons of other podcasts. If you've ever been to a reptile show before, you know this gentleman. And here he is, Mr. Troy.
I appreciate that warm welcome, man. That's too much.
I'm stoked. I'm excited to have you back on the show, new co-host now. Let's get a rolling.
Who do you like better right off the bat, Adam? Do you miss Joel or do you love Shane?
Man, I love that you just start the drama off right away. You're just like, let's just get these guys pitted against each other. First question out the gate.
That's great. Yeah.
You know, it was you real answer though. I love both of them for real.
That's kind of you.
I mean, it is. It is.
Yeah.
I already have plans to like get a rivalry going. There's gonna be like Team Shane shirts, Team Adam, you know, like
funny. We have a little bit of that at All American, man. And Nick probably doesn't even know this, but every once in a while I refer him to Team Troy and Team Nick. And I think Nick only has one teammate and I have the rest. And so him and Cusco are a team together, and then I've got the rest of the crew.
Nice. Yeah. Is that how it rolls? Cusco immediately was like, all right, I'm Team Nick.
So I'm pretty sure that Nick and Cusco might be a thing.
Oh, I like it, you know.
Like, he might leave Lauren, and him and Cusco might run off together and live on, like, some Hawaiian island and, like, look at bugs and snakes and herps and stuff all week. I don't know. They're weird.
Start a new YouTube channel together, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I tease those guys a lot, so yeah. No. Yeah.
They're both – I like – Cusco I know quite well. Nick, just kind of through social media, seeing what's going on, but never had a lot of interaction with them. But he seems like a great guy. And
he's good stuff.
If he's partners with you, then that's a good enough.
It takes a lot, man. Like, I wholeheartedly know that I am a difficult person to be friends with, let alone business partners with. And so I would like to think that Nick and I and Lauren and my wife, Lisa, like, we were all friends first. But I'm not going to lie, man. I there's many days where I'm like, I don't know why they did this. I don't know how they deal with me. So,
since you divided yourselves up into teams, like, if you're vending an AARPE show, like, do you, and you want a favor, do you go to Team Troy or do you go to Team Nick?
Ooh.
Who's the one that's going to, like, give in and hook you up more?
Interesting. I'm going to answer this a couple different ways. When Nick and I formed this partnership, I told him that he had to say no to people because I have a hard time saying no. At the same time, I think I've learned to say no pretty well. But I think that, I don't know. I might say me over Nick. Nick is pretty, you know, by the book, man. He likes to be pretty, cut and dry. And I feel like I have some give, and I don't mean that in a bad way for Nick. I think he's just really, you know, on track. His mind, he knows what he's doing. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to waver a little bit and give this person what they're asking for.
All right.
Well, so noted.
So that's the answer, basically. If you really need a favor, like something against the rules, go to Troy. But if it's by the book, go to Nick.
If I say something like, oh, I got to ask Nick, you're more than likely going to hear from Nick. It's because I'm afraid to tell you no, and I just want to get out of it.
All right. Hey, but that's a good relationship between you two, right?
Yeah.
You gotta kinda play good cop, bad cop out there. So
yeah.
We got a question from Will. Is Troy known more for his suit jackets or Lisa his hot wife?
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. You know what's funny is there's so many people that, you know, Lisa. How do I say this without making Lisa sound like a real dick? Lisa loves people and hates people, right? So, like, it's not so much she hates people. Lisa's just not in the limelight, want to talk to people. You kind of have to break. Lisa's like an onion, right? You got to peel her back to get to those layers or whatnot. And so, but I would say this, she's definitely the bigger, she's more of a favorite than I am. It's usually people come to my booth and it's like, what's up, Troy? Where's Lisa? And I'm like, I don't know. She stayed home. Like, call her. Don't ask me where she. Don't bother me.
Right. They just go, okay, bye. See you later. You're like,
yeah,
wait a second.
Yeah. Like, thanks for making me feel like a piece of shit. Yeah. Oh, and then I come home and I tell Lisa this. I'm like, hey, you know, first 10 interactions I had today, 9 of them were, hey, Troy, what's up? Where's Lisa? And then she's like, no, they didn't. That's probably not what happened. And I'm like, oh, bullshit. Like, happens every show that you don't come to. It's the first question I get. Where's Lisa? So, though, I would also ask, I would say this now. Now it's almost like, where's the puppies? Because, you know, people have been fans of the, and Adam, you know how this is. Like, you know, you bring your dog and your dogs get kind of known by the community. Oh, yeah. And so a lot of people ask me where Ollie or somebody is before they ask me where, you know, anything about me or Lisa. So
I totally know how you feel, man. People know my dog's names before, like, you know, they don't even bother to learn mine normally. It's like, is Loki going to be at the dog show? And it's like, well, I'm here. And yeah, but where's
Loki? Thanks for asking about me. Yeah.
That's Loki great. Didn't even talk. What the hell?
Yeah. He doesn't even like you.
Too funny, man. What do we accepted resignation? Adam and Shane. Let's see. What do we got here? Troy, blow me. I hope that's a friend there. We'll
Jesus.
That is Chris Eaton. That's his.
That's his. Other that's ch- tough.
That's,
his other
yeah. That's Chris.
I owe Chris. Like, I mean, honestly, man, I owe him such an apology. And I was talking to Jerome about this the other night because Jerome listened to him and Kittinger live, which, by the way, I listened to him and Kittinger on the way home, and I thought that was a really good episode. I think just last night or the night before. Anyways, back to my apology to Chris, which I need to make more than just on your episode as he's listening, but. He sent me a birthday message. He sent me a really nice message about our Denver show. I caught it in my notifications, and I'm horrible about going back to like Instagram. I have probably 50 unopened, you know, whatever in Instagram. I'm just really bad about it. And so I owe him an apology because he did send me some really nice things. And so I need to write him.
Oh, here you guys go. Look at you two making up on live stream. I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah, he's great stuff, man. He's always said really nice things. I always loved when he talks about when he first met me. He was like, you know, that guy's a douche. Look at him in his stupid tux. And I think it's so funny. And he said it on the Kittinger show because he was like, he said, like, went with that part of the story. But then he kind of said, like, when I came walking up, he was probably like, look at this douche in the stupid top hat or whatever he was wearing. And I probably did. I probably was like, what's going on with this guy? You know, and now I love to think that, you know, we're friends and we certainly don't get to talk a lot, but he's a great guy, a lot of fun. And I love his personality. And so, I love that he just says what he feels and has a good damn time with it. So,
And apparently to make it up a little bit more to him, you can buy a freaking shirt at least the $200 range is what Jerome is saying.
Yeah, 100%. I think I told him at Bob's show, like, I'll get that done. I will say this about me. If I've told you I'm going to do something, I definitely will do it. I probably won't do it in a timely manner. And sometimes you have to remind me.
So, yeah, but the shirts he's talking about, they're like, it's a limited run and the campaign's almost over. It's like four.
Oh, channels. My God. Shane, you got to remind me like tomorrow.
All right.
Or like tonight at the end of this, I will literally on my phone, like do it while we're like in the backstage or something.
All right. Hold on.
Like if you get one after the fact, I don't even know if it counts towards the charity. I'm not proving.
You know what? I'd be happy just donating. And I think he should send the shirt to somebody else, like, as a gift from me or something. I don't know.
All right. I'm setting my reminder. Hey, Google. Troy to buy Snake and the Fat Man shirt tomorrow. And it's done. There you go.
All right. And when you do, I'm literally going to send you a screenshot showing you I did it so that we all know that I did it. Because, I'm – if Lisa was here right now, she'd be like,
It's the deed. The deed's not words edition. And it
goes to
Camp Freedom. So,
yeah,
you know, I have those cards on my table at every one of your shows. You should.
Nice. Know. Yes. Right. Well, I'm going to be honest, Shane. At my shows, it's like one big blur.
Oh, yeah.
I remember key things here and there, but like I always say to Nick or somebody when I leave a show, like, oh, I wish I would have paid attention to like what these people had on their table. Or I wish I would have looked at this. Or, hey, did anybody see any? And they're like, oh, you know, everybody had this or that. And I'm just like, spacey. So.
All right. Well, hey, that brings up a good point. A question I wanted to ask you too. So, when we were at Nashville, you liked one of my shrapnel animals, and I was trying to like
peddle it to did.
You. And you made some comments about your current breeding season. You want to talk about that? Like, what's going on with best dressed balls now that you got AARPE going?
Yeah. I would say before All American came about, I was probably already. It's not that I have a foot out the door on ball pythons. How do I say all this? I would say my current state of mind, my depression, some things with me and my son, Michael, and like what he went through. I just really put a lot of things in the back burner. And so snakes was one of them. And our photography studio, I mean, I've shut my studio down. So to back up a tad, like, you know, I'm sure if you've heard me on a podcast, you've probably heard me talk about, you know, people and their, you know, mental struggles and things like that, including myself. And then our son has been fighting seizures for a couple of years, which, you know, I know isn't the end of the world. It's not cancer or something like that, but it's a big deal to us. And it gets pretty scary. And there's been some scary close calls. And last May, not this May, but just a year ago, he had a really bad episode that landed him in the emergency room here. And while in the emergency room, he went into multiple seizures and had to be life flighted to Iowa City here in Iowa, which is our, you know, big university hospital. And, you know, in Lisa and I's mind, it was going to be, oh, he's going to be fine. Every time he's had a seizure and had to go to the hospital, it might be a day or two. So like when we got there, you know, we were kind of like, man, he's hooked up to way more than normal. Like, what's going on here? Long story short, we were there for 2 weeks. His body was failing, and things got pretty scary. And I was already fighting a lot of things about our studio. And then, you know, the snakes were kind of on that platter as well. And when that all went down, man, I just kind of shut down. And I think that I took enough time away from the snakes in our studio that it was hard for me to want to come back to it. Meanwhile, AARP had just started. So we had our first show in April. A month later, you know, I'm in this hospital with Michael and them. And so I wasn't even sure what was going to happen show wise. Like in some points, you know, talking to Nick while I was staying in the hospital, you know, I kind of want to be like, hey man, take this thing and do what you want. You know, I'm going to have to figure out, you know, how I can make sure I'm at home and, you know, taking care of Michael and so on. And so, with all that said, it was hard for me to get back in the groove of, you know, the snakes or the studio. And so I really, at that moment, kind of took a look at things. The show gave me some freedom. The studio, you know, a lot of time is dedicated to people and schools and dance studios and wrestlings and, you know, clinics and whatever. And then the snakes, it was, you know, obviously a lot of time here taking care of it, feeding them. We have our own rats and ASFs and things, the shows and so on. And so if I took a big step back and stopped vending and, you know, stopped photography and, you know, at that point, you know, Nick and I had always said, you know, we might do 10 shows, but at the time I think we literally had like two scheduled, which was like Denver and Charlotte. It gave me this freedom, you know, somewhat financially and time-wise that I knew I was going to be around to just, you know, maybe keep an eye on Michael. Fast forward a little bit, you know, Michael's doing great. He's went the longest he's went in the 2 years of now that this almost 3 years that this started. He's went about 6 months without a seizure. He lives down the street from us. His girlfriend lives with him, you know? And so, I think, you know, mindset wise, I'm still, I don't think I really handled the trauma of it all really well. And so I'm kind of coming out of that finally a year later. And, so I took a huge backseat to ball pythons and now it's like, I'm so far behind because I had already kind of taken a bit of a back, put him in the back seat, that it just comes down to, I would like to almost start over. So this season I have, I think, two or three clutches in the incubator. I just was downstairs today. I want to say there's like two or three more girls to lay. So that'll be the least amount of ball python clutches I've had since day one. Outside of like when I first bought in. So after year one, I have never had less than, I think my first year I had like maybe 12 or 15 or something like that. So, I definitely am taking a break. My plan is to liquidate a lot of the breeder girls. I'm keeping all my holdbacks. There are some projects that I do want to keep an eye on or maybe even buy some things into to kind of keep those projects going for myself. But I'm going to drastically change where I'm at numbers wise for at least the next year or two. And then it's my holdbacks that are, you know, 2024 hatchlings or 2023s that are in the holdback rack kind of come online as adult females. I'd like to kind of pick up the pieces there. So it seems like a lot of rambling, but that's how I can answer that.
No, not rambling at all. That was awesome. Yeah, man. We've got a lot of good support for you out there. Much love from Epic Style. You know, Jerome, a fresh start is great.
And I agree with Jerome on that. I mean, man, I mean, a reset ain't a bad thing, you know?
Yeah. I definitely think that overall, where I'm at in just life and whatnot, that's what I need. And so I think we're really bad as humans to put ourselves first. And I'm trying to learn to do that more and, you know, maybe take care of myself a little bit more and do what's best for me and not necessarily what's best for everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, you said it the best, right? Right there. You really do. It's self-care, making sure yourself is good. And then you can take care of other people better that way too, right?
You know? Yeah, I mean? I would like to think that, you know, a couple of years from now, you know, I love the ball pythons, you know, and I am mixing some other things in. I love Euromastics, and so I've bought in quite a few of Euromastics. Shane, you'll hopefully appreciate this, man. I'm a chameleon guy as well. And I know you've got some Panthers and things and I do too. And so, I do want to diversify a little bit. So I'm hoping to just, you know, key in on some projects. There's some clown stuff I really enjoy. I still love the Monarch side, the Mandarin side. I want to keep an eye on that stuff and, you know, maybe see what's out there in a couple of years from now. And then meanwhile, I hope that I kind of get some of that other stuff online too. And, you know, I'll continue to vent Tenley and Pomona, especially those two. I'll probably continue to do like St. Louis. I really actually enjoy the St. Louis show. It's probably one of my favorites. And so, I'm not going anywhere. And I know there's a lot of talk. I get a lot. You know what's funny about this subject is I kind of wondered if we would talk about best dressed balls or if it would mostly be AARP. And I'm not, again, you guys know me, so I'm an open book. But it's amazing how much, you know, maybe hate or like how much people's opinion or relationship with me has changed since I've backed out on ball pythons. Like you find out how maybe shallow or something people really are about how they think about you over what you're breeding. So stupid.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
I think that's sort of like the tribalism. You know, it's kind of a little bit of human nature and the tribalism, like, oh, he's not in the clique anymore. But I still love you, Troy.
I love you guys, man. And I have photography has brought some of the greatest people in my life. So has the world of reptiles. And Lisa and I talk about that all the time. And like just how fortunate I've been to my past cross with, you know, different individuals that, you know, the people you were friends with in high school, the people you're friends with in your college years or your young adult years or whatever. While I still talk to a couple of them, like the people that are my everyday life or are a big part of my heart are people that I've met out of those two industries. And so I'm really, really lucky, really fortunate.
Well, dude, I mean, I don't know, me meeting you, I can't imagine it would be difficult for people to kind of want to be around you, man.
I'm only friends with you though because your wife is pretty.
I knew it. This entire time.
Yeah. It's like your pretty wife and then the dogs.
I wish we were recording the backstage before we went live. These two guys, man, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Adam was the highlight of my last Pomona. Between Pomona and St. Louis, you know, are kind of my two favorites. A lot of that revolves around food. And then people, oddly enough, if you know me, I'm chubby and I like my food, but I love Pomona. And, you know, I got to meet Adam there years ago and I felt like I hadn't seen him for a couple of years and we ran at each other outside while I'm getting food. And we got to sit down and see each other for a little bit. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had bought some horrendous hot dog that I was trying to eat.
Yeah,
it was not good.
I told you, man, you should have went with that chicken.
I should have. Yeah. Your guys is I had order regret massively when I sat down. Yeah, at the table.
So but funny.
And you know what? So Pomona was kind of like my re-entry show, right? Like I'm like, all right, I'm gonna come back out, say what's up to some people, see what the tables are looking like. Because I had stepped away for a couple of years doing the whole dog thing. you know, was maintaining the collection, but wasn't breeding or buying snakes or, you know, just basically paused it kind of deal. And so seeing you, man, it like, it really did. It made my day. And I told Heather all about it. And
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. Are you coming to Pomona at the end of the month?
Well, I really, really want to, but I ruptured my Achilles tendon a couple weeks ago. And surgery will be probably like, it's like June 26th. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's right on top of it.
Yeah. Right on top of it. So
Shane, have you ever been out to Pomona?
Yeah. When I lived there, when I lived in California, right. But
did you vent Pomona then?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. I was trying to think about that. Like if I had seen you vent or not, but okay. All right. Do you miss California?
No, not at all.
Yeah. I love those quick.
I miss the Mexican food. That's it, man. That's all I miss is the Mexican food.
It's funny, man. So Jerome, you know, Jerome moved to Fort Dodge, Iowa, where I'm at. And Jerome, so in Fort Dodge, there's like three Mexican restaurants, all ran by people that had at one point or another have came from Mexico. And I've got to know them. I mean, some of them have been here for 30 years. And there's one out there. I'm not going to say the name, but there's one out there that I said, well, Jerome, this is kind of like this town favorite, you know? And so Lisa and I had told him about it a couple of times. And so I think Lisa and I were out of town and, you know, Jerome goes there and then we see him and he's like, worst Mexican food ever. And we're like, oh, I don't really like Mexican food. So I can't even be a judge. But Lisa really likes it. Well, he's like, they put white cheese on everything. Well, that's why everybody here loves it. It's this like certain queso cheese that they make, like they home, whatever make. And people love it here. I mean, they absolutely love it. They buy it from them in jars and stuff. And so Jerome's like, they put it on everything that was on my plate. You know, he's like, it was the worst thing ever. And so kind of funny, you know, he talks about, I think, missing the Mexican food out in California as well. So
they do the same thing with the queso out here too. So then I'm like, I'm going to outsmart them. I'm going to tell them no queso, no, put that shit back on because that was the plainest Mexican food underneath.
Oh, funny.
I'm
like, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Never mind, man. And then yeah. I have a theory and this isn't, I hope this isn't too politically incorrect, but I think the Mexicans from in California are from a different part of Mexico than the Mexicans in Tennessee. And I think that's what we're seeing. Like the California ones, it's like the Baja influence. And then you come over here and it's like the Eastern coast of Mexico, whatever it's called over there. And they migrated up here. That's my theory.
Nice. Yeah.
So I've heard that too, Shane, kind of explained like that, like down here in Southern California, quite a few of them kind of come from the same area. So most of the restaurants and cooking style is similar. Like Texas kind of has its own flavor as well. And, you know, going down the way, but I mean, the queso, I couldn't get over the queso myself when we lived in Texas, it was like on everything. I'm like, so I like funny. It with chips, the dip, but don't slather it all over everything. But like Shane said, if you remove it, then what do you got? You know? So
there ain't nothing
plate full of yucky food. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a little word of advice, you know, PSA to our viewers. We are that entertaining. You will forget that you are making tea. So thanks, Will.
That's funny. I can't see the comments. I was going to grab my iPad so I could keep up with comments because I always feel bad if there are like questions or something or whatever. Or I just feel maybe I just have like some type of FOMO. Like I don't know what's going on in the comments, which is always the greatest part. So comments are fine.
Will. You're not missing nothing. Jerome's agreeing with me and Will got teabagged. Nothing special.
Okay. Yeah. So a normal Thursday night. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at, see, this proves the point. Will got some of that white cheese on his steak and shrimp deluxe last night.
Oh, funny.
It just goes on everything. I got a question though. So you said you got some about Best Dressed Balls, just to kind of keep it on there before we kind of maybe go into more of the show stuff.
Yeah.
So you got your hold back projects. And do you think you pick up any more projects or do you think like those recessive you mentioned are going to be kind of it and you build?
Yeah. I'm definitely, puzzle still intrigues me, and I have none of it. I know, like, when I think of puzzle guys, I think, like, I'm not sure how you don't have a quadrillion badass puzzle stuff at the moment, because you've had it longer than anybody I can think of. I think when we met, you were talking about puzzle stuff, and I was like, that's dumb.
Always. I've always talked, I know, right? And I always got that look like, dude, this guy over here.
I know, this guy. Yeah. So I certainly would like to keep my eye on that. I think that's a project that when I decide to ramp back up, I just buy in where I want, right? I buy the time back, and I buy whatever animals I need. I think from there, man, I'm curious what happens in the next couple of years. You know, like, you know, Shane had mentioned, like, his, say it again for me, Shane, is it, so I don't say this wrong. What did I look at your table? Shrapnel. Thank you. I think these projects like Shrapnel or, you know, Cosmos or whatever, I think that there's some danger in it, because it, to me, it seems like it's all some type of granite, you know, kind of pattern mutation. I'm kind of wondering which one comes out on top, but I also think you work with what you like. And so, you know, some of these I look at, I'm like, nah, not for me. Right. And Shane can tell you, man, I was really pretty wowed by the animal he had at his table, and I haven't bought a ball python in quite some time. I almost bought one last night. And before that, Shane's was probably the first one that you got close to pulling the trigger on. And so, cool. You know, I'm curious where some of that ends up at.
Okay. I like that. Just kind of, all right, we're going to wait and see, not really making any judgment calls right now. Right on.
Yeah.
I think that's wise. I think that's a wise decision, because in the ball python game, holy crap, man, things change so fast. Stuff is, you know.
Yeah. And you can buy in so many different ways, right? You can buy at the very bottom level of whatever, triple hets or whatever the case may be. You know, or you can just buy that visual, whatever it is. And so to me, you're really, ball python game comes down to time. You're buying time, I think, no matter how you look at it. And so, yeah, I think in next year or two, man, that's where I'm at, is I'm going to buy back into what I want and kind of go from there. So
good deal. Yeah. You need to go. You want to go check on the dog real quick? I heard him on my end. I don't mind if you go look at him.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a quick peek.
Yeah. Go ahead. We'll let everybody know.
Okay. So. All right. Don't make fun of my fat, comfy chair that's got like a hole ripped in it, because I pretty well sleep in this chair a lot. Okay.
No, you're good. So just to fill everybody in, Dre's got some puppies over there. So, you know, he was letting us know if he heard him bark, he's got to get up and check, because Lisa's on the road still. So we'll let him do that, and we'll keep you guys entertained. As Shane said, he was going to sing a ballad to us of some sort.
Oh God, put me on the spot, man. Me. I'm not even warmed up.
But everybody in chat, just wanted to say thank you guys for also the real nice warm comments while Troy was kind of, you know, explaining his situation to us and everything like that. I didn't get to highlight all of them. I didn't want to take away from some of his message when he was right in the kind of middle of it. So we did see him. We appreciate everybody giving support there.
Go follow Troy, Best Dress Balls, and All-American Plant and Reptile Expo. And Plant Expo.
Yeah.
I forget which one goes first, but go follow those ones on Instagram too while you guys are hanging out.
We got our first request, Freebird. And I want the 14-minute version. None of this radio edited 6 minute.
Yeah, 6 minute songs are for sissies, man. We got to get up to the 20-minute Inagata Davidas and stuff, you know? Right. The reptile is first. I should know that. Yeah, reptiles, then plants. Which, by the way, if you guys have never been to one of those shows, it's a great show, and you might come home with a new addiction like plants. Now, I'm a plant guy, too, so every time I go to the reptile show, I'm coming home with plants.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Dude, that is cool. I can't wait to check one out. I was talking with Troy yesterday, and he was saying that November they're going to be out in Arizona, Scottsdale-ish area. So I think I might pull my trailer out for that one and go hang out for the weekend. Troy and I be RV buddies. So,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
If the trailer is a rocking,
dude, you know. Hey, take it easy. Take it easy. Welcome back, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Do you guys hear me? Do you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can. Yes, we got you.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Yes, okay. All right. Oh my God, this won't fit my ear because I'm fat.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
How's the puppy? Everybody good out there?
All good. Yeah, everything I think is okay. So I'm going to leave her out, and hopefully Lisa will be home in the next few minutes or so, and she can deal with them.
I didn't ask how old's the litter.
So they'll be 6 weeks on Sunday.
Oh, these are real youngins. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And so, we try to leave mom and, mom let her do her thing, but, from time to time, I'll just kind of, we have like a hallway with two bedrooms in it, and we have them all in a bedroom together. And then, I'll just kind of keep mom, let her free roam a little bit. But when she's barking, typically she just wants out of there, whether it's to go outside or be with the other dogs or something. So,
and at 6 weeks, they're starting to get the little piranha teeth. So mama's oh, these little guys, they're hurting. Get them away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I think our neighbors are outside. So then the dogs are just barking at them as well. So they're fine. Lisa will be home in the next 15, 20 minutes and she can find them.
Right on, man. Nah, that's cool. You got to it with the dogs and whelping a litter. I mean, things can happen so quick too. So,
Yeah. Chris from Epic Styles picking up one of them. And then, I don't know if you guys know Zach Schrader from Schrader Reptiles, his sister's getting one from us. And then, hopefully Shane, Shane and I talked about one, I think his ex old lady maybe, right? Was looking at one.
She's still thinking about it. I asked
her. Yeah, let's get her.
She called.
Yeah.
Let's get her.
I just want her to buy it so I could babysit the dog when she goes on vacation, because, I babysit my old Frenchie now, whatever it is. I guess it's not mine. I lost her in the divorce, but I still get to see her. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, whatever that makes her.
Yeah. I would certainly love to see as many of these go to people that we know. Obviously, they're good people then, and where they're at, and you get to see them from time to time. It'll be a lot of fun. And so, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. The vetting process is way easier, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be in my situation, chicken. Oh, little Gizmo. Gizmo's got to chill out, bro. Just Gizmo's got to chill out.
That's great. So, is there any top secret, fresh off the press, all American news?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything too top secret at all. I was telling Shane earlier, when we decided to go to Nashville and wanted to be at the fairgrounds, they only offered us 2026 dates. And so we have two dates for 2026, and if Nick is in here listening, hopefully, or Lauren, maybe, or Chris might even be able to help me out. I know it's March and I think maybe September of 2026. I'm actually going to get those dates out on the site so that people know, hopefully somewhat a year in advance here. But they have offered us some 2025 dates. And the problem with picking one is there's this Nashville Fairgrounds, which Shane's familiar with. Has three expo halls. And so it's called Expo 1, 2, and 3. And we were in Expo 1, which is their biggest one. And Expo 3 is not too terribly different. The dates they've offered us, the show we had in May, we had Expo 1 to ourselves, of course. And then there was nothing going on in Expo 2 or 3, which can happen. It just felt nice to have it be ours, right? And so, now we're talking with Nashville about, trying to keep it that way. And the problem being is the dates they have that we could just squeeze in for 2025 all butt up with stuff that they have going on there, which most of it is their flea market. And their flea market, from the numbers they gave us, brings in anywhere from I think he told me 17,000 is their average. Their highest weekend was 42,000 people or something through this Nashville flea market, which it's pretty good size, and they have a pretty good area and parking and the speedway and all this stuff they can do. And the majority of the flea market is outside and then in Expo 1. And so what they're offering us is if we want to fit a 2025 date in, that we could pick Expo 3 and be in one of those, sometime later this year yet. And I think the hard part we're having is, do we want to butt up with one of them? You know, they have the parking for all this. But it's still just stressful to think that we're, you know, competing with two different shows. There was actually a show that was supposed to be there that weekend that got canceled at like Expo 3. And so people were coming to our show like nonstop, which was great because some of them stayed, but it was like, it felt like all day we were like, oh, nope, you're at the wrong place. Or, hey, that show is canceled once we found out. And so, you know, it's just, you know, a bit of an added headache or something to think that, you know, all weekend I have to make sure people are in the right spot. And, I don't know. It just has some, I think, some worries. You know, it might have some benefit to have extra people there. So the flea market is free. And so, you know, we obviously charge to come in the door. So those people have already, you know, paid, they do pay for parking in Nashville. So, you know, people, they're already there, you know, so do they pay us to come in and see the reptile show too? The problem with that being, as a vendor, like my, you know, as myself being a vendor, at shows, I think there's a very fine line. You have to have new people coming through the door, in order to try to sway them into the reptile world. Right. It's great no matter what for a promoter, because obviously we make our money off the door, but for me to just be like, yep, let's do it because we have the opportunity to have this X amount of thousands of people be there that might also come through, doesn't necessarily justify what Nick and I and Lauren and Lisa want too. Like, we want to bring qualified people through the show door so the vendors do well. And so I think that's tricky. So that's probably the thing that's going on right now. For All American is trying to figure out, you know, if we can do something in Nashville. Charlotte, we've kind of lost our venue, which really sucks. Like, Charlotte actually has been a really good show. And the vendors, for the most part, like, you're never going to have all vendors be happy. But we get a lot of compliments from Charlotte. And so it's really tough right now to keep telling people, like, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the venue will not give us dates. And we feel like the venue just doesn't want us back. I don't think it's anything necessarily we did. We did have kind of a tough email exchange with them on the first show. Second show, I felt like everything went really good. They're not really set up as the type of people that want maybe a reptile show. And so they're a church organization. That building's typically used for large church events, things like that. There was a, what do I want to say, like Aquashella or one of those also did a show there. And then the very following year, same thing. They weren't, you know, welcome back or whatever you want to say. So I don't know if that building was just, they were trying some things and now they're like, nope, we're just going to do church events or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to put words in their mouth. And so we're trying to, you know, see if we can't locate maybe something nearby. I would say that's, you know, again, it's not top secret news. It's just, you know, what's going on. I think behind the scenes, you know, we're trying to figure out if we can do that. We do have a Fredericksburg show in Virginia that is going to be new. Scottsdale, Arizona show will be new this year. And so, yeah, you know, I think, things are moving right along. I would say on the backside of things, that's kind of what's, you know, being talked about right now is how we can facilitate figuring out Nashville for 2025 yet and have enough time to tell everybody. And or just waiting until 2026. And I think the other thing would be, you know, whether or not we can still pick up some type of Charlotte or nearby Charlotte venue. So, yeah.
That's cool. When you guys go hunting for places, like, is it just as simple as like pulling up Google Maps and be like, that's a big ass building. What's the square footage and who owns it? You know,
you guys like do like research on like demographics, median income, like all of that. Like, what goes in there? That's the mystery, you know, I want to know about.
Yeah. Chris from Epic Style got to kind of be a part of that one night. We were in Denver. He was with us. We have this giant map and, you know, we're writing down like, San Antonio, what's the median income? What's the population of that area? What's the population of the metro? What's the population of, you know, 60 miles out? And then it's like for a new area, it's like, well, reptile show, San Antonio, Texas, Oh, there's this one and that one. There's Reptilian Nation. There's whatever, you know. So, oh, okay, there's two. Okay, well, if there's two, like, you know, could we do that area? Like, you know, we'd only be the third person coming in, or, you know, what about this area? And so that is a lot of it. It's and it's, you know, to Lauren, you know, benefit for Lauren is she's really good at, you know, looking all that stuff up and finding out, you know, all that information, and you know, kind of giving it to Nick and I, whether it's in their kitchen or over the phone or whatever. A lot of it is finding out the area, and making sure you're going into an area that has, I think the other part of that, you know, is, you know, finding out what the level of reptile, I don't know what you want to say, reptile industry is within that area. That part is pretty tough. And so, you know, you can look at Morph Market and see how many people come up for Charlotte, North Carolina. You can Google some of that. You can, oh, there's three or four mom and pop, you know, reptile stores. So obviously if they're being supported, there's got to be a network there. And so it's a lot of things like, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, that. And then the hard part or the next hard part, I probably should say, is the venue. Venues are tough. For one, it's a reptile show, and that stigma is not great throughout the country. And so we've been turned down by some venues that we really wanted to go to a city of, because they don't want reptiles or animals at all. And so, so that's the first thing is you call and, hey, we're a reptile show. And it's either really quick, like, oh, nope. Or they're open to it.
Have you ever asked a lot of, when they go, nope. Have you ever been like, all right, what did one of my friends do?
Right. That's probably a pretty good question for Lauren. She's very good about, you know, having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she does a lot of that calling. When it comes to it, Nick and I have done it as well. I was actually on the phone with one today and trying to get some things. So, yeah, I don't know if it's, afraid of loose animals. You know, a lot of times we're like, hey, they're not venomous. It's, you know, nothing like that. It's, you know, smaller snakes and lizards, blah, blah. Do they get out? Yeah. I have to be honest. Things get out. We've been really fortunate about finding, you know, 99% of that. If it happens, we've told them situations, oh, you know, we had a bird to get out and never got caught, you know, or something. But for the most part, man, I think that's probably a lot of it. And I think it's probably even just some of the, like, the people that run these convention centers, you know, whether it's ran by a board and they, you know, maybe say this is just a no-go, or are some of these kind of ran by just a couple of people and their fear alone is like, I don't want this at our place. And so, yeah, you know, they don't have anybody telling them any different. Right. And so, and we don't run into it a lot, man, but that's definitely a big thing is that, and then it's, you know, just the facility itself. And then it's, then you play the game. And so, you know, Arizona, for example, I don't know if people have seen some of the posts, you know, we've had some unfortunate drama in that area. And, you know, we're just playing the game. It's, you know, we finally found this place that would allow us to have a show. It's a beautiful building, brand new. And they have a 100,000 square foot facility they're willing to let us come into as dates open up. And so, you know, we went ahead and it was like, hey, if you take this date in November, late October, early November, you know, we can get you 2026 dates. And so we were like, yeah, why not? You know, and it's unfortunately caused some riff in the Arizona prop thing. But that's my point is that it's not like we always have the say. You definitely play a game. Denver is the only show we have right now that we know for sure every year in and out, we have the same dates. It goes off of a weekend. You have if you're whatever, Adam's dog show, you have weekend 15 and weekend 37. Those are yours for the rest of your life once you fit into them. We're trying to get that way with everybody else. Kansas City is working with us to get on a loop like that. We're getting closer. Nashville, same thing. Like, I think once we get into maybe 2027, I think we'll start to really kind of get into our groove. But that's the problem is you're really to their mercy. There's not a lot of places that are big enough, you know, 40, 50, 100,000 square foot. Because I don't want to put on a smaller show. We want to be kind of medium, larger shows. And so you're kind of, you know, strapped to so many venues that even work to begin with. And then it's, right. you know, what's the dates? Will you even allow a reptile show? And so it's a game, man. I'll tell you that. It's a game. Yeah.
So finding the size is difficult, and then finding Stuff. A place that actually will allow you in. And then maybe you've got some nasty locals if you're breaking into a new area, right?
From time to time. Yeah.
Time to time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And like Bob, like Bob's dealt with that too, you know, in Atlanta, and you know, you hope it just works itself out. And that's what we're hoping. Yeah. You know, we're hoping it works itself out.
I know you're a straight up guy, right? So if anybody is, you know, seeing or hearing chatter about stuff like that, I vouch for Troy. He's straight up. If you guys have any questions also, if you're hearing stuff, reach out to him. He is the type of guy that will.
I'm an open book. And I had somebody, had somebody post that the other night. Like, hey, can we have a phone conversation? Yep. And it was a great conversation. You know, he told me some things that he heard that were not true. I tried to set that straight. I explained our situation. I explained our what we're planning on doing and that we have these dates for 2026 and, you know, Arizona and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I mean, I'm an open book. You know, Nick, Lauren, me, Lisa, like it's about transparency from day one. And that goes down to a lot about the show. You know, like I'd like to fix show numbers. I think that show numbers are, deceitful. So I think there's shows that people have been told for years that have, you know, oh, we have 15,000 people through the door or something. And I can guarantee you it's probably less than half that. And so, you know, I think it'd be pretty interesting if all of us show promoters started posting like screenshots of our, you know, Eventbrite or whatever you use.
Right.
I don't get the deceit because we've had shows that are 4,000, 5,000, and 6,000 people and people be ecstatic with those numbers, but then they'll say stuff like, oh, well, this other show I do tells me they get, you know, 12,000 to 15,000. And I'll be like, so it's in a building smaller than ours with a parking lot smaller than ours. And you're telling me they're getting double the attendance. Like, where do you think those, where are they putting all those people? Like, it's pretty simple if you stop and think about it, you know, when people talk about shows having 20,000 people at it, man, that's half of a baseball stadium or something.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah. It'd be absolutely massive. And we had an event at Charlotte, across from us is the Bojangles Hall. And they told us that they had sold, I think right around 9,000 tickets. And Bojangles parking lot holds like, I don't remember, 2,500 cars or something. And then this parking lot that is actually at the Parks Expo where Shane is vended and whatnot. I think it holds like, I think they told us like 5,000 vehicles or something between their multiple parking lots. And they had like the spillover into our parking lot during our Friday part of our show was absolutely insane. And I mean, they shut the streets down, you know? And so I'm like, when's the last time you saw a reptile show that tried to tell you they had 12,000 people or 15,000 people where you saw that, like you saw the parking lot or you saw them had to shut down? I mean, you don't, because I think the numbers are wrong. So right. That's just my thing.
That's interesting. Yeah. But, and that, you know, and that's important because as a vendor, right, you want accurate information from the promoter to try and help you decide, hey, am I going to drive across country for this show? Or, you know,
it's just deceiving, I think, a lot. And I get it. You know, they want their show to, you know, be set apart from the next. And if we were all honest about it and everybody had 4,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 and 7,000 and 8,000 people and not 12,000 and 15,000 and 20,000, you know, I don't know. It's weird to me, man.
Yeah.
It's one of my things that I'm just not a fan of. So.
Yeah. Will had a good question. How many people to make a decent show? Right. So the kind of reach, right?
Yeah. So for Nick, Lauren and I, Lisa, like, I think our goal is always set that we would like to have 4,000 or more come through the weekend.
Oh, okay.
That tip from what we've seen so far and from talking to other show promoters that are, you know, been really cool and whatnot with us. That number is financially good for the show. And then I think the second part of that is those numbers have typically been, we've heard from vendors, whether our show or another show, that have had decent to really amazing shows. Obviously not every vendor is going to have that. Some are going to get, you know, kicked in the tummy. But that number seems to work for the show promoters, whether us or somebody else, and or the vendors. And so that's, I think, the lowest number we want to see. And we've only been under that number one time. And that was actually just recently, which unfortunately, when I signed paperwork for our Kansas City show, I shouldn't say we were under that. It depends on how you do the numbers. In the building, we had like 4,200 and something, 4,300 people. But that's counting the vendors. And so I think tickets sold was literally just on, it was like 3,980 or something stupid. And so everything else has been, I think our record show has been right around 7,000 people. That's Charlotte's been,
people.
Yeah, Charlotte's been 5,000 or 6,000. Denver's been 48 or right around that, or just over that. And so, our last Denver show was pretty crazy, but we had Snake Discovery there. And, so that obviously brings in a crowd of people as well. And so,
I saw that on your post, right? You know, you guys bringing in like to Arizona, you've got, Cusco and somebody else.
Kaufman comes a lot. And Kaufman, then, and Cusco. Yeah.
So that's cool.
They're a riot.
Right. They are fun.
Yeah. We missed Dave for most of the spring because his schedule to like Argentina or Africa or wherever he's at, Colombia or something, like it literally was on top of almost all of our shows. So we'll see Dave back again this fall, and looking forward to that. Dave's pretty funny. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dave is a crack up. I've got the hang with him a few times.
So where are you guys at on, like, are you going to continue to expand more locations? Are you like cool with what you have? Where are you guys at on that?
Yeah. From day one, we've always said it's going to be 10 shows, right? Like hopefully 5 and 5, like 5 spring, 5 fall. So 5 locations, doubled up. And so we're pretty much at that. I think the thing is now is like, we would never come into an area and only do a show once. That's part of our thing. That's why, like, again, back to Arizona, like, what do we have to do to get dates secured for, a whole year? Well, we come in now and do the, whatever. So that gives us 3 dates. I think you can find out a lot within 3 shows. I think, and I don't want that to sound like, oh, we'd only do 3. I think we would probably do 2 to 3 years at a place before ever saying, oh man, this isn't working. So I think right now it's, we have those locations. So it's, Nashville, Fredericksburg, Scottsdale, Kansas City, Denver, right? Am I missing something here?
Charlotte, the Wobbler, Charlotte.
Yes. Yeah. And so, if we could figure Charlotte out, and have it be, 6 basically, still, that's only at 12 shows a year, or maybe we decide to do just Charlotte once a year or something like that, to help keep things working for Nick and I and Lauren and Lisa. And so, we definitely don't want to get any bigger than that. And I would love to see 2 to 3 years from now, like, are those shows all still sticking? Does one of them kind of fall off the map? And then do we find something else? I think that's the only time to tell. And then to be honest, man, some of this comes down, right, to, Charlotte, we'd still be going if we didn't have a venue issue. And so does that happen to us somewhere, and so you hope not. Kansas City has been great to be. I really hope that Kansas City becomes kind of like, I don't know what to say here. I don't want to say like our best show, but I really hope it becomes like the spotlight, I guess. Cause it's the venue is phenomenal. It's actually been rated like the number one venue, in the country, like the last couple of years. It's attached to the Sheraton. That's great. The area, the food, I just think it could be a really, really good show. And so, they're working great with us. Denver is set. I don't have any fear with that. Nashville, same thing, man. It sounds like they're cool. Like as long as we just keep this 26, 27 going so we can find where we can just lock in dates that would be repetitive. Just like, Tinley and things like that, you always know it's going to be X weekend, right? So that's really the goal we're trying to get to. So then, with Scottsdale and Fredericksburg, it's probably a little early, but I don't foresee anything happening bad there. And so those venues at least don't seem like they're on edge, right? They're just already being like, yep, you've got these. And if that goes well, you can keep those weekends, or we can try to help you find a better weekend to suit where you want to be. So, yeah.
Yeah. Jerome wants to know when's the,
Des Moines show. Des Moines, Iowa, you know. It's funny because I kind of told Nick, like, I want a show in my state, you know, like, which actually for me, I think would be like the Iowa City, Cedar Rapids area, because it's not far from Chicago and stuff then too. And, but that's not on the works. Could I call Nick and Lauren tonight and tell them, hey man, I absolutely want to do a Cedar Rapids, Iowa show and I'm going to do it. They would 100% back me. Right. That's the great thing about, I think, them and us is we don't really fight about a lot of ideas and we definitely have each other's back. And so, you know, if an Iowa show comes together someday, I think that would be pretty neat for me. no plans for Iowa at the moment.
Right on, right on. Well, Will out here talking trash still. He goes, all 500 residents may show up.
That's more my town. I love it. That's so good. So, yeah, good old Iowa. We're the flyover state, man. We, you know, you not a lot going on here in Iowa.
Yeah.
But without us, you would all die because, you know, we our produce grains. All of your.
Exactly, man. So, people don't.
When you guys are like brainstorming, trying to come up with locations and stuff, like, is there like a majority rules amongst you guys, or does it have to be unanimous, or is there like one like major shot caller, and who is the shot caller if there is one?
Definitely no big I, little U. we're all equal. We certainly have not had an instance really where I think any of us felt let down on a location. I would say there's like one, like there's a couple locations that I would still like to keep an eye on if one of our other locations doesn't work. And I think Nick and Lauren would be fine with that too. So I think really we've been really good about, you know, what do you think about this? And it's been like, give me more information. Okay. Yep. That sounds good. You know, like, I don't think we've really had an all out, you know, I don't want to do that place or I don't want this or that. We've really worked very well together. So
that's good.
Yeah. That's awesome. Right.
Yeah.
There. Cause I mean, that's,
yeah, you never know.
You never know. But then when things are working good and it's a group of people, wow, it feels great. Right. Cause everybody's kind of doing their own thing, making it all work. So that's cool.
Yeah. You know, and to be honest, I think we're, you know, quote unquote, kind of a perfect partnership. I don't know if that really exists, you know, and certainly there's probably times I've let them down and whatnot, but, you know, I certainly don't know if I could say that about them. They've really upheld their end, you know, more so. I probably let them down a lot. They just won't tell anybody. you know, Nick and Lauren are very, you know, I think, you know, Lisa and I are, you know, 10 and 15 years older than these guys. You know, we're a little further ahead. They have very young children. Our child is growing. Our world experience is similar in a way. You know, I was kicked out of high school. I have a GED. Nick has a GED. Hopefully I'm not spreading his business here. But like Nick is unbelievably intelligent to the point where like I make fun of him about how smart he is. It's almost like I don't say Rain Man because that means I'm like picking on people. But like he's that way. I mean, like he is just, he can tell you some of the most random info on something quickly. Like, and his knowledge of like reptiles and plants and the scientific names and where they're from and what they eat and what they need. And I mean, he's like a walking encyclopedia. It kind of pisses you off.
Blows me away. How?
Because I'm like, I'm not stupid, but I'm stupid, you know? And I just, and maybe some of it just comes to like, I just don't care about so much stuff. And Nick is just really very brilliant, you know? And Lauren, like she's like this, I don't know how to put Lauren. I always tell her she's intimidating because it messes with her. She doesn't like it. So if you see Lauren, you can tell her that she's going to hate that I just said that. she's not reserved, but like, you can see she's thinking like, when you talk to Lauren, and I'm quick to react. I react very quickly.
She's the contemplator. She'll kind of
somewhat like, I feel like she can react. But even in like her quick reaction, you can kind of see the wheels turning. Like, should I say this? You know, so I have to really bite my tongue on, you know, just things in everyday life, because I'm just quick to say something. And I've been that way far too long. And so I don't know. I feel like it's a good partnership because we're really somewhat polar opposites. And at the same time, I think we have a lot of similarities that, you know, do bring us together. And so, awesome. Yeah, it's pretty cool. They're like family. So
how did you guys meet each other, if you don't mind me asking? I haven't heard that story.
So. You know, the first time I met Nick. So Nick and his brother Justin came into the Ball Python world as like these punk 10-year-olds, you know, like they were young, like 15. It might have been younger. If Nick's on here, he can correct me. But seriously young, in their teens. And there was all these rumors, like Nick's dad was a brain surgeon that was billions of dollars, and now their sons can go out and buy these snakes. And his dad was this or that, his mom was this or that. So I never really knew, but I did see them a couple of times. I think maybe at Tinley, because there is this part of the story where he talks to me at Tinley. But I remember hearing about them, and just, I didn't dislike them, but I was kind of like, who are these kids? They're kids. Like, I don't want to talk to these kids. They're kids. And then you're kind of like, what the F? Like, I've had to work my butt to get this money to buy a $10,000 snake, and these assholes are coming in here and doing it with, like, it's like they just have this unlimited budget.
Right.
And so they were buying things kind of right and left, and you'd hear about them. And they were really close with Robin at Pro Exotics at the time, and Chad. And so, you know, I they were on my radar. And Nick came and talked to me one time about some snakes at my table at Tinley. And I sort of remember it, and I blew him off. Like, I was supposed to get a hold of him, and I was just like, yeah, man, I'll get back to you. I was like, I'm not getting back to this guy. Like, never did. And so, you know, we certainly didn't really know each other. Later on, I think I was at a Denver show for Reptilian Nation, and Robin was like, hey, Nick Salone's going to drop some stuff off at your table. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. I know who Nick is. And so he kind of came over, and we talked for a couple minutes. And I think I went over to his booth, and like, his wife was there. So I met her and his brother's wife. And I think they had just had their kids. And so they had these tiny babies. And if you know me, I'm kind of a fan of babies, man. That's my, I don't know what it is, but babies are peaceful. They bring me a lot of happiness. Yeah. And so, you know, I had my moment with them, and, you know, this kind of took off from there. And then Nick and I kind of stayed in touch a little bit, and I was at breakfast with him at Denver on our way out to Pomona, and it's me, Chris, and Nick. And at this point, we had knew that Reptilian Nation was probably not going to come back to Denver, because the venue they were at was going to be, had been sold. We'd heard a couple different things. Like, there's going to be this homeless camp for Aurora or whatever it was, or it was going to be turned into apartments, or it was going to be demolished and used as a parking lot. But long story short, the building was sold, and they did stop everybody's shows from happening there. And they did convert it into something. I don't remember what it is. It might be a homeless camp or something. And so we didn't really want to start that. We both kind of were at breakfast saying, hey man, I would like to do a show. He's like, I'd like to do a show. And I'm like, yeah, keep me in the loop, man. Let me know, 'cause I'd love to help out, you know, one way or the other. And my background from photography is I helped run, you know, these giant photography shows in Atlanta and Nashville, and like these Gaylord properties. And so anyways, I really enjoy the trade show life. I turned down a job for a lab here in Iowa that I would be doing trade shows, which was really tough for me, 'cause I just love that lifestyle. And so anyways, Ryan from Reptilian Nation ended up texting everybody that was associated with the Denver show at one point or other, and did say, hey, yeah, we're just not going to come back. And so Nick and I were like, you know, unfortunately that big venue is not going to be available, but there's got to be something else. And so we went to work, and the partnership formed, and our friendship has got stronger. And, you know, I love those guys. So this all happened like, so our first show came about last April. So a year ago at Denver, So this all happened basically the year before it that we were like, hey, yeah, so on our way to Pomona. So that would have been the January of basically last year that we were like, hey, let's do this. Let's
do it. Right. That's yeah. cool. But you had already yeah. known, you'd already known Nick though for over a decade.
Yeah. So, yep. Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. In some way or the other. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. As a young punk kid.
And now you guys are partners, right?
How? Yeah. Yeah. If you went back in time. If you went back in time and like Nick walked away from my table and somebody said, hey, in the future, you and him are going to run reptile shows together. I'd be like, no, that's not happening. Right. I don't even like that kid. I'd be like, there's no way, you know? And so for one, I feel like I'm his dad's age or something, right? Like Nick's like in his 30s. I'm 47, but I feel old compared to Nick. So I would have just never thought that.
Right.
So yeah.
I don't know. You know, that's one of the beauties about life, I think, is just like when you never see it coming, right? And then it all works out. So,
yeah. I'll just to add to that, man, like, I have an interesting relationship with the good Lord above. I try not to make this about, you know, religion or anything like that. I certainly am not the greatest Christian. But I will wholeheartedly say that I 1000% believe that the Lord has put people in my path at the right time throughout my life. And Nick and Lauren would definitely be two of those people. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. That's awesome. And I mean, I'm not the most religious person, but I grew up very religious and completely feel you on that. Right there.
Yeah.
I still believe in something up there that's guiding stuff. And there are certain moments where you're just like, wow.
It's too hard for me to think that this just happened on its own. Like something else had to have played a part in this person, because the ripple effect goes too far and too deep for me to understand it happening without it. So
yeah, for sure. Well, I really appreciate kind of going into some of the more, you know, a little personal aspects of your journey, man. I've always loved that about you, that you are willing to kind of go to those places, because that's
an open book.
I think all of us can draw from it and we feel it. And I do appreciate that. And I hope we're all kind of learning a little something, you know, about the shows. And all of that. So I know you guys said you're going to keep it to 5 shows. If you were going to go a 6th, where would it be?
Ooh, I think that all four of us would probably say something different, and then we would all agree on one of those ideas, which is always pretty funny. It's you hear 4 things and you're like, oh, wait, no, I like your idea. I would say Oklahoma City kind of has my eye.
Okay.
I don't want to get into Texas. We don't want to get into anything in ERBC. I have a lot of respect for Sean at the Herps shows. He's down, he kind of does Texas. So I have no reason to come there. People might be like, well, then why are you coming to this place or that place? But a little different situation. I don't want to do Florida. I'm really kind of hoping Bob takes Florida a little bit as things change over the next couple of years. I'd love to see him do that and his Atlanta show. I don't know, man. I don't know. Oklahoma City, Minneapolis. I would say this, somewhere in the New York world. I wouldn't mind that.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Need something up there.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, New York. Something over there would be interesting.
Yeah,
you know. So
that's cool. I've never been, so I'd travel out to see you guys, right?
Get
a show going.
You cross the country with the dogs out there, so you know you'd have a reason to come see us or something.
Yeah, that is true. Did Maryland, so we drove to Maryland. That was something else. Loved the area. That was pretty cool, actually.
Nice. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, right on. Well, you know, we try and keep these things right around an hour. you know.
All right.
And we'll try and be respectful of everybody's time. Is there anything we didn't talk about for the show that you really want to tell people anything?
I think if you're in one of those areas, whether you're a vendor or a spectator, I ask that you just give us an opportunity. And if you have any questions whatsoever or any qualms or any whatever, Lauren, reach out to us because we're easy to talk to and I'm going to give you my truth. And so, that's really all I think I would want to say is give us an opportunity.
Awesome. I love it.
I vouch for him too, personally.
I appreciate it, Shane. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
No, Shane's top notch experience and like, hey man, can you put me next to the Harbins and yep, whatever you need, boom. It just happens.
So, yeah, definitely. I love it, man. And you're such an awesome guy. So I just want to say wherever you go, bro, if you ever need anything from me, just let me know. And I hope to see you at one of your shows. I'm looking at Arizona. We're going to be RV buddies. Shane was making fun of us while you were dealing with puppies. I was telling people we were going to be RV buddies. And he was like, in the green room, these two guys, I had to break them up from kissing. So now you guys going to be RV buddies.
It'll only get weird if you come over to the Sprinter because I only have one bed. So you definitely have to sleep with me.
See? It was all planned from the beginning.
Lisa would much rather hang out with your wife than hang out with me. I can tell you that. Hates me.
If I do bring the trailer out, I've got a second, like a queen bed in the
back. Oh, I might just come stay in your place and let Lisa stay in the van. The van gets rather small when it's me, Lisa, and three dogs. So.
Well, hey, if I do pull the trailer out, let's coordinate and you guys are welcome.
I like it.
With me.
Yeah, for sure. I like it. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Well, hey, if people need to get a hold of you, need to find you, what's the best way, Troy?
Yeah. You know, whether you're reaching out for All American or Best Dress Balls, either way, whether that's Instagram or Facebook or, you know, Morph Market or websites, all of those communications, you know, cross both of us for the most part, other than, you know, maybe Best Dress Balls. But, you know, you can reach me at any of those places. And if you reach out through AARP and you don't really know Nick and Lauren and you want to talk to me, obviously you can just, you know, whether that's a Facebook message or an Instagram message, you can put Troy, or if you're comfortable talking to any of us, you know, then just right away. So.
Okay. All right. Man, thanks a lot. Shane, any parting words for us?
Well, we have an announcement, right?
Oh,
we do. Yes, it's pretty exciting.
So, starting next week, we will be on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Be back on the original Reptiles Unplugged Day. We'll have Wednesday Friends Day again. To all the people that listen to the replay and the audio editions, we'll still be in those spots. It doesn't matter. But for the live audience, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And that's just, it works better for mine and Adam's schedule.
Yeah. So personally, just kind of fit better. We were talking about it and decided, all right, hey, since we're just kind of getting it spun up again, it's a good time to go ahead and make the shift if it's going to work personally for us. So, and that's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So y'all catch us next week. See you guys later. Yes.